We're going to start a little general, talk a little bit about just background stuff. First of all, what led you initially to engage in politics and run for office originally and, you know, continuing till today, of course?
Sure. I never really had a big aspiration to be in politics. And when I ran for city commission, I think I was probably upset the fact that I thought the city commission was micromanaging city staff and city hall and really lacked a vision for where the community should go. And that's really what propelled me to get involved in local politics. And I lost a re-election over downtown redevelopment, and I kind of thought that's the way it is, and I'll move on. And then my predecessor, Dr. Susan Mosier, retired, and then I was approached by members in the community to consider running for the state house. And so I won that election at the precinct level, and I've certainly enjoyed my opportunity to represent Manhattan in the Kansas House.
Let's start getting into a few topics here. There's always a bit of competing desires, state services as well as keeping taxes lower. What are some of your thoughts on how to balance those two competing desires of, having good state services while, maybe not having taxes run up too high?
Sure. You're absolutely right. It is truly a balancing act, because there are always going to be needs that we're going to face within our budget process. And it's trying to find enough money to allow certain things to occur. And for me, it's probably trying to focus on multiple priorities at one time. Higher education is something that I will continue to advocate for. So we're always trying to figure out how to introduce additional funding. So, it's kind of like you have only so much money, so you try to spread it across multiple needs that the state has. Mental health is one. I for one, do think we need to continue to fund CAPERS. If we fail to do that as a state legislature, that becomes exponentially more expensive in the outer years. So it's something we continually need to do. I believe in trying to build a rainy day fund for when those times when the state is in a recession, we need to be prepared to handle those downturns. So, I guess the easiest answer to your question is you try to put a little bit of money into all the priorities that you're trying to accomplish, recognizing that you just can't fund everything because the needs are too great.
And there's been some talk about lowering taxes again now that state revenue seems to be rebounding a bit. Do you think this is the time to do that again, or maybe do you think there needs to be a little more patience, maybe?
Yeah, generally thinking is we probably shouldn't talk about lowering income taxes. Now, there are some specific tax policies that I would be interested in supporting, and that would be the sales tax rate on food. I think that's something we could do, and that will be, I think, in my mind, contingent upon successfully passing the internet sales tax collection. And if we're able to do that, then that will bring in some additional revenue, and maybe we can offset that sales tax food. But generally, income tax rates, we did that 2 years ago. We restored those. Didn't go all the way back to the pre-Brownback tax cut plan, but we did increase tax rates. We added a third bracket again. And I think it's kind of incumbent upon us to show to the taxpayers that government can live within its means at this point in time. And, try to, again, and through the budgeting process, meet a variety of needs and priorities.
And there's been some talk amongst local governments. Some folks in the local governments have expressed a little bit of displeasure over like a tax lid, for example. And there's also continuing talks about maybe a lid on or a cap on property valuation increases. Do you think the state should have a role in that, or is that something that maybe the state should keep out of?
I think the trying to keep these decisions and the local control is probably the best approach. I'm not a fan of the tax lid that's been imposed on city and county governments, and that's something I would vote to remove if given the opportunity. And again, it's because local officials run. They're the closest to our electorate, and they're held accountable for what the decisions they make at the local level with the mill levy and sales tax rates. And so I don't know that we as a state should be imposing that tax lid. And the idea of imposing a cap on appraisals, something that I'm not sure is a wise decision. I certainly understand that the taxpayers are frustrated that property taxes keep going up. That's the one tax I hear the most complaints about, is our property tax continuing to go forward. And I've read an article, I'm not an attorney, but some people say that putting a cap on appraisals may be unconstitutional. And so, you know, I generally speaking, I'm not sure that either one of those ideas are good.
And let's move on to a little bit on education funding. Some have proposed a constitutional amendment that would end the Supreme Court's role in determining whether funding is adequate for education K through 12. Do you have any thoughts on that idea? Do you think that the Supreme Court should have a say in adequate, whether education funding is adequate?
You know, I've talked to a lot of people in the community, and quite a few people are receptive to the idea that the courts shouldn't always be dictating how much money is spent. I need to, before I would commit to a constitutional amendment, I would want to know exactly how it's worded, and if indeed it's going to keep us out of the courts, because I think that's the ultimate objective that we would try to achieve. And if we're not able to keep ourselves out of court, which I question whether we really will, if we passed this at the, well, the state has to pass it in the legislature, and then the public would approve it. It concerns me, because I am a proponent for public education, and I would hate to put some kind of artificial cap that would have an adverse impact on potentially almost a generation of children, because you know, some people say to me, well, there is a mechanism in which you can re-elect new officials to change the funding amounts and put more money into public education. But that could take 5, 6, or 7 years. And so you have a kindergarten entering into the public school system, and it takes 5 or 6 or 7 years to get the right balance of elected officials in office. You know, those kids have gone almost all the way through their elementary education before additional funding. So it is something that I certainly listen to the public and realize that there is concern over it, but it has to be proven to me that it's not going to have an adverse impact on public education.
Do you think there should be term limits on the number of terms a legislative official can serve?
Yeah, you know, when I was first elected, I certainly was, and I am now. Having served now for 7 years, you know, probably 8 to 10 years for a House member I could live with. Something less than that would cause me concern, because it does take quite a bit of time for a legislator to understand the rules, the process, gain command of the issues. And some folks have told me in states where there are term limits, what ends up happening is the lobbyists have greater influence, because they have the institutional memory, because there's constant turnover in elected officials. And you do need somebody there that can provide some historical context and understand how things have occurred within the institution. But for someone to be in elected office, you know, 20, 25 years, I don't think that's healthy for our democracy. So, I could probably live with term limits in, you know, 8 to 10 years at that point. But something less than that would cause me some concern.
And I believe the latest numbers, I'm just checking my numbers here to make sure I get it right, is about 150,000 or so Kansans make too much to qualify for CanCare, but too little for subsidized insurance premiums through the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. In 2017, I understand there was a vote to expand Medicaid, but it was struck down by Governor Brownback at the time. Do you think it's time to revisit that?
It's certainly time. I mean, I was in the legislature, and I voted for passage of it, and I voted for the veto override, and I think it failed on the House floor by 3 or 4 votes. It was very close. But yeah, I mean, this is an issue that needs to be revisited and tackle it. You know, the folks that are opposed to it are concerned about the long-term cost of the state, which I think is a valid concern. But not everything comes down down to dollars and cents on some of these decisions that we make in the public arena. And this is a public health issue. And if we can get people involved in preventive health care, I think you could, in the long term, save the state money. But so short answer to your question is, yeah, we need to revisit it.
And sort of big news, or maybe not big news, but it's news coming out kind of pretty recently. Chris Kobach is talking about privatizing the Osawatomie State Hospital. Do you think that's is privatization a good way forward to improve mental health services in the state, or do you think that we need to take a different approach?
Well, there's discussion. I mean, I think the article I read, he wanted to privatize and keep it kind of a central operation like Osawatomie currently is. Another model out there is more regional mental health and having smaller facilities across the state which are located closer to the consumers and those who would need it. So I'm receptive to that approach. I think it's what I consider a diversified approach. You know, the argument of public versus private, for me, it's about effective delivery of service. And, you know, we've shifted foster care, we've shifted Medicaid to the private sector, and that hasn't worked well. I'm not sure that that's entirely just simply to blame it on because it was privatized. I think we didn't write the contracts very well, and we didn't provide enough incentives to direct what objectives we wanted to accomplish, and accountability and performance standards. And it may very well cost more money in order to get that effective delivery of service. And I think that certainly needs to occur. So the argument of public versus private is one that we'll probably always debate. But for me, it's about effective delivery of public good. And how we achieve that is, you know, whether that's achieved through the public arena or through the private, generally thinking, I think that the private sector could do it better if it's structured appropriately to achieve the intended outcomes.
And I've touched on a lot of different topics here, but now I kind of want to turn it over to you. Mm-hmm. What are the issues or the topics or the concerns that you have that are most pressing, you think are most pressing for the state of Kansas, and specifically, you know, things that you were hoping to address with your upcoming candidacy?
Yeah, well, I think you've identified a lot of the good ones. You know, obviously, continuing to fund public education, the K-12, is important. I think we have resolved that. If we go back and add about $90 million, I think the Supreme Court will find that we're in total compliance with their expectations and their rulings. And so we need to do that and then continue over the next 5 years and moving forward to fund it. And then that kind of resolves this issue, which is a big issue for the state of Kansas. So I think that's important going back. The things of the Medicaid expansion, that debate is important. We need to have that one more time. We need to take a serious and hard look at the foster care system in the state. I've read too many terrible stories coming out of that public service, and that needs to be taken look at and finding solutions to foster care system. We need to come up with a long-term plan for our state highway system. We're approaching the end of the last 10-year highway plan. Work has started on a new highway plan, but I think we always need to invest in our infrastructure to allow our economy to grow. I think we need to take a fresh look at how the Department of Commerce is functioning. I do believe in public-private partnerships to stimulate growth in our economy. And I'm not happy with what's going on in the Department of Commerce, and that needs to be taken new eyes, looked at that, and how do we better promote economic development in the state of Kansas so that we can grow our economy, attract good jobs, and retain our young. So that's important to me. Well, and then, as I said, restoring funding to higher education is important to me, and as is continuing to fund technical education. I think labor needs are critical in this state right now. You can talk to just about everybody in public and private sector, and they are hurting for finding qualified employees. So, and that's tackled through job training in the Department of Commerce and through a good education system, both public, technical, higher education, and those are some of the things that we have to continue to focus on.
All right. Tom, thanks for coming in.
Good.